All right, good morning to you. You know, I've been so much looking forward to this moment that we come back together. And just give me just a minute here before we jump into the message today. And I'm really excited about what I have to share with you. But, you know, this kind of stuff is, I mean, it's been hard for everybody. And when we started talking about wanting to come together, how we could come together, we wanted to do two things. Number one, we wanted to glorify God in however we chose to do it. And number two, we wanted to be good citizens of where we live and who we are, and Americans and even citizens of the world. And you know what? That's a really hard thing to do right now. But I want to recognize and thank everyone, especially the elders, the deacons, the deaconesses, the trustees, the folks that have been meeting multiple times to put together this plan. I'm sure you've read all that we've put online. I don't have to go through all of that, but you know, I really worried about how this whole social distancing thing would work at church. I think it's wonderful. I want to thank Jen. You know, Jen, here, stand up, Jen. Stand up. I want to talk about her for just a minute. Thank you, Jim. We do appreciate what you've done. Here's the funny thing, though. In our meeting, you know, I had in my mind, you know, I thought, you know, we could do this. And I shared, and a couple people said, yeah, you know, Pastor John, that's a good idea. And, you know, Jen had kind of other ideas. And so I met with Jen here in the sanctuary a couple of weeks ago, and absolutely none of my ideas were implemented. All of hers were better. Okay? So, you know, the color coordinating the chairs, I think, is like incredible. I did come up with a slogan: if it's brown, don't sit down this service. Okay? I don't have one for next service, but that's all I got. But, you know, everybody, and I mean, the way they're going to treat this place when you leave today, I mean, your not only your comfort, but your safety and your spiritual condition and your mental well-being, everything was thought about and prayed about. And we're just overjoyed to see you back. And we just hope that in the days and the weeks that follow, that we can build and build and build to where we can have everybody back. You know what? I thank God that we have a facility big enough that we can accommodate all of you and even more. We have about 140-some seats each service available to us. And in the neat next service, when people come in, they'll be socially distanced, but none of them will have to sit where you sat. That's cool. And so anyway, we've done all that, and please, you tell your family and your friends we're back open for family. Okay, not back open for business, but we're back open to do family together. And we are glad that you are here, this morning. If you were online with us last week, you'll know that we started this new 3-week. Series entitled "What Are You Smiling At?" Now, if you heard me last week, I apologize to all the English teachers because I know that, you know, when you use "at" at the end of a sentence, it's like that's a no-no. But it made sense to me, being a good country boy, because I remember this being said to me a lot. You know, "What are you smiling at?" Because they knew something was going on inside of you that was causing you to react a certain way. It was interesting because yesterday when we got all of our group together and we were talking about today, and we said, listen, please, everybody wear a mask, be a good example. And I said, but listen, when you greet people, make sure you smile at them, tell them it's great to have them here. And one smart aleck, I wouldn't dare tell you who it was, but he's related to Scott Hildebrand very closely, said, how can we smile? We got a mask on. That was a great point. I didn't know what to say to that. But I hope that you felt people smile today as you came in, because it really was a joyous moment. But if you remember last week, when we talked about this, we talked about how we will never rise above our thought life. We can never become more than what we think about. And especially during this time, we were talking about Romans 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Has there ever been a verse more important and prominent for us today? Nothing that we are going through now can compare to what God has in store for us. Think about that. This was written by the Apostle Paul, and he was beaten. He was left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He spent a night at sea. He was imprisoned. He went through it all. And that's when he said this verse. That's when he spoke these words for us. But here I want to build on that today. Last week, and I appreciate Eric's words there. I shared last week Romans 8:28 too. Now God's going to work together. God can bring good out of any situation. And I'm just believing that God's going to bring something wonderful, something good, something life-changing for you and me out of what we've gone through out of these last few months. But let me build on that today. We're talking about what are we smiling at. Gratitude gives you access to peace. Let me tell you something, folks. You can't get to a life of peace without being grateful. You know, I've thought a lot recently about, I don't know why, but I've thought a lot recently about country music. Man, I'm telling you, I love country music. I love country music, for one reason, because it really speaks to love and devotion. I can't tell you how many songs that I have sang to Arlene by Randy Travis. Matter of fact, I want to invite her up right now. I want to sing forever and ever, amen. Come on up. No, I won't do that. You know what I'm saying? You know, how long am I going to love you? Forever and ever, amen. But I heard a really good song the other day, a new one. And I put it on repeat on my car by a young man named Denning, new country artist. And it's not about love, but it's about love lost. And the song is about him telling his sweetheart that it's over. And she asked him, like all sweethearts would, is there somebody else? And he said, yes. And she wants to know her name, and he tells her that her name is Abby. Anybody but you. Right? I see Christine. Christine put a thing on the other day. She said, please mention a song that makes you think of me. What did I put? Lady by Lionel Richie. Now, I thought a lot of others, but I didn't put those. Her name is Abby. Anybody but you. Sometimes it is so easy to get to that point of just throwing things away. And sometimes I think that we throw things away, not with our hands, but with our heart, when we're not grateful, when we don't have the kind of gratitude that God wants us to have. From a website named PositivePsychology.com, they shared an article on there that talked about the benefits of gratitude. And as I thought about these, maybe you want to write these down. I thought these were so good. Number one, gratitude releases toxic emotions. That's true, isn't it? Have you ever noticed you can't be mad at somebody when you're praying for them, when you're thanking God for them? You can't be mad at your husband, ladies, if you're grateful for them. You can't be mad at your wives, men, if you have gratitude in your heart for them. Because gratitude releases toxic emotions. Gratitude also, it says, reduces pain. Literally, physically, in a real way. That pain, physical pain, is lessened when you're grateful. Number three, it said that gratitude improves sleep quality. Anybody believe that? Man, I know I do. You know what? I'm really looking forward to tonight because I slept lousy last night. And I'll just admit to you, the reason I didn't sleep worth a hoot last night is because I had this anxiety about the day. Number one, I hoped somebody came. And number two, I hoped there wouldn't be any big issues, no problems. Hope we all stay well and safe. You just have, and I'm trying to be as faithful as anybody, but it is really hard to not let these things sneak in. I'm here to tell you that gratitude is the doorway. It's what gives us access to peace. And when we have gratitude, when we're grateful, things get better. I'm turning in early tonight because I anticipate a good night's sleep. He also says that gratitude aids in stress regulation. Helps you to regulate the stress in your life. Number five, it says gratitude reduces anxiety and depression. Listen, folks, when I read this little article, I just felt like that I was living proof that this is true. And God's Word has so much to say about that. Don't you just love Proverbs chapter 15? Verse 13. Because not only does gratitude give us access to the peace that God wants us to have, but listen to what it says here. A glad heart makes a happy face, and a broken heart crushes your spirit. Why does it not say that if you smile, you'll have a glad heart? He said no, that your thoughts, what's inside of you, what you allow to motivate you, is what causes you to have a happy face. And yet we live in a time where we want to appear happy. Listen, God wants you to be happy. God doesn't want you just to appear happy. He don't want you to fake it. He don't want you to try to manufacture it. He wants you to have genuine peace and happiness that can come from Him. And the only way that can be is when we allow Him to generate this happiness and contentment and peace and joy from way down inside. You know, I've noticed two things that really brings a smile to my face. Number one's children, my own and yours. Saw a couple little munchkins come in this morning, and they were so excited to see Connie, and she was just as excited to see them. It was easy to smile looking at that. Children, mine and yours. Family, of course, your wife, your husband, the people that you love that way. I guess I should have said three. And three is just simply when you know that God cares for you. Because when you know that and understand that, it really brings a smile to your face. So what are you smiling at? You know, here's the thing. It's been a difficult time to smile lately, hasn't it? I mean, with all the COVID-19 stuff and all that, you know, the last week or so with this civil unrest and everything that's going on, not just at a place, but really all around our country. I mean, it is a difficult time to smile. But even through those difficult times, we can smile. You see, because here's what the Word teaches us. Here's the passage that I want to share with you this morning. I told you last week how you really need to learn to give some significant time to significant portions of Scripture. Not just a verse, not just a phrase, but a significant portion of Scripture. That's what we did last week with Romans chapter 7, with Romans chapter 8. And today I want to go to Philippians chapter 4. And I want to look at this together. Look at what he says in verse number 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here, I invite you. Read that together with me right here. Okay, it's right in front of you. Let's do it together. Okay, here we go. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Wow. What a tremendous passage of Scripture. Now, permit me just a few minutes to break this down. He says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. You know, I said to you just a minute ago that gratitude is what gives you access to the peace of God. Gratitude is what gives us access to the peace of God. What is it that shows our gratitude almost better than anything else? It's joy. It's worship. It's being able to have that expression of love and amazement with God. That here in this prison epistle, the Apostle Paul could say to you, it is so key that you rejoice. Let me say it to you again. Rejoice. Double it up. He repeats himself here because it's absolutely crucial that we understand that we must be able to rejoice. Be able to rejoice when or how? Always. Say, it's been awfully hard to smile lately. You know, it's been awfully hard to get excited about things lately. You know, I've talked to a lot of people about depression, about anxiety, about fear, about worry, about being down, about getting back up. It's a difficult time to do that. You know, when it first started, if you were like me, and I'm sure everybody was the same, you know, all of a sudden you have to work from home, and you know, it's like, this isn't so bad. Man, I'm just so over it. I'll tell you how over it I am. I actually said to Arlene 2 days ago, I said, honey, I am sick and tired of your home-cooked meals. I want to go to Cracker Barrel. Now, how smart was that, huh? I mean, I remember distinctly saying when we first started this, honey, oh my gosh, this is so wonderful. I love all this home cooking. This is so great. You know, her and Kristen, they were just making these wonderful things, and they still are. I mean, I'm trying to be a little bit funny. I'm glad you laughed anyway. But it's really easy to be that way, isn't it? You know, something, oh my goodness, this isn't so bad. I am so sick of this. You know, wow, this might turn out to be something good. I am so over this. Are you with me? I mean, that's exactly where I am. And then I go to the Word, and the Word convicts me, and he says, you know, John, what you need is gratitude more than anything else. What you need is joy more than anything else. What you need is the ability to rejoice in all things. I'll say it again, John, rejoice in all things. All things work together for good to those that love him, that your present sufferings, they do not compare to what I have in store for you. And then he says this, let your gentleness be evident to all. Let your gentleness be evident to all. You know, sometimes I think this idea of social distancing, we use it as an excuse not to be as helpful as we should be or can be. I had two instances at Lowe's a couple weeks ago. I'll share them with you very, very quickly. One of them was of this lady that I encountered in the plant section, you know, the garden section of Lowe's. And she was having a problem with picking a big bag of mulch up. And I said to her, you know, ma'am, may I help you with that? Put it on your buggy. She said, no, I can get it. Pardon me, I'm sorry, excuse me. And then a few days later, I was back there, and as I checked out and walked out to my car, there was another lady, elderly lady, who was trying to lift 4 bags of mulch from her cart into the back of her car. And I walked by her, and I was almost at my car before I realized, wait a minute, John, you probably should have offered. So I went back, and you know, I did what Jesus and Arlene would have done. I went back, And I said, ma'am, may I help you put these in your trunk? And she said, oh my goodness, would you please? Thank you so very much. And I did, and I said, I thought to myself, I almost passed that up because of the way someone else had responded. Let your gentleness be evident to all. You know, don't treat people as they treat you. Treat them as you want to be treated. Isn't that what the Bible said? Isn't that the golden rule? So often we think, you know what, I'll give people exactly what they give to me. No, God wants you to give to them exactly what you want them to give to you. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And then look at this. He says, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious. You see, folks, it's the nearness of the Lord that helps us stay absent from worry and fear. It's when we don't feel the closeness of the Lord that we find it so easy to get away from faith and thereby live by fear. Don't be anxious for anything. Notice how he says here that rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'm going to say it, rejoice. Don't be anxious for anything. Be thankful for everything. Don't worry about anything. But he says this, but in every situation. You see, that speaks to your heart, your life, and mine. In every situation, realize that the Lord is near. And that nearness of the Lord is what's going to be able to help you to be grateful because you know that He is there. You folks, all I'm trying to do here is to get you to read this passage very slowly. Because he says in every situation, by prayer, by petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. As I mentioned to you earlier, Apostle Paul wrote this passage, this book, Philippians, from the jail. And he says here that with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And here's the thing. I want you to realize how different his request to God is different from what your or my request to God would be if we were imprisoned. He was asking for strength, for grace, for mercy, for a voice to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people that were around him. And I think that in our case, it would be far too easy to just allow our voice to be nothing but complaining, asking for ourselves, declaring that we are being treated unfairly, that we deserve something different, that we would be asking why, and Paul is asking how. And then he says, and then the peace of God. But not the kind of peace that the world talks about. He's talking about the peace that transcends all human understanding. You see, that's a different kind of peace, isn't it? That's a different kind of peace. The other day, I was out on my back deck, and I had my dog out there with me. And man, he was just fretting, and he was fretting, and he kept smelling in between the boards of my deck. And he was just kind of, you know, fretting and walking around. And he wasn't really barking loudly, but he would growl every now and then, and he wouldn't lay down. I kept saying, Wilson, come over here and lay down. And it was like he was driving me crazy. And I got up to put him back in, and I put him back in the house. I came back, and finally, okay, I was kind of chilled. All of a sudden, I saw a cat walk out from under my deck. And I thought, poor old Wilson, here I thought that he was just aggravating me. And he was fretting because of that cat. Do you have a cat under your deck? I'll bet you do. And all the anxiety, all the worry, all the fear, that's kind of where it's coming from. But he can give us a peace. Because you know what? He came back out later, and I don't think he could tell that the cat was gone, but he was peaceful. And folks, you and I need to know that we can have that kind of peace that transcends all understanding, which will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ. You see, folks, those two little words is the whole key to gratitude in Christ. Because when you realize what Christ has given you rather than what you deserve, it makes you really thankful for His grace. When you realize that you are blessed beyond measure, it causes you to be grateful. And even when you realize that your troubles and your fears and your problems, when compared to the riches that God has given us and promised us, that they do not compare, then we can have this peace. But it's all about being in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, have you ever seen this sign? I bet you've seen this sign around. I've seen this sign on shirts. I've seen it on cars. I've seen it on, you know, in lots of places online. You know, that if you know Jesus, K-N-O-W, then you know K-N-O-W. Peace. But if you have no, N-O, Jesus, then you have no peace. And people that seem like they have peace, even though they don't have Christ, it's not the kind of peace that he describes here. Because the kind of peace that he describes here is the kind of peace that leads you to gratitude, even when the world don't think that you have anything to be grateful for. And that's the kind of gratitude that we want. You know, I said to you about spending some significant time in a passage of Scripture. And if you go on down some in this chapter in Philippians, chapter 4, it really gives you something to smile about, because he goes on and he says later on toward the end of this chapter, it's in verse number 8, we read verse 4 through 7 just now, but in verse 8, he says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." You know, my dear wife actually put this on the wall in quite big letters in one of our bathrooms. And anytime you're in there, you look up and you see these words. You know, I think the Apostle Paul comes to this point in the Word, and he just says, you know, let me sum it up here, folks. Finally, let me get to the end. And then he tells us what to think about. Think about that. You know, we're awfully good at telling people what they should do. We're awfully good at telling people how they should talk, words they should use. We're awfully good at telling people, you know, places they should go and places they should avoid and things that they, you know, we're all really good at talking about all these different things that people should do. But Paul says here, I want to tell you how to think. And the reason he tells us how to think is because your life is the sum total of what you think. And if your life is full of a bunch of thoughts that are ugly and impure and immoral and uncaring and ungrateful, if your life is just full of thoughts that take you anywhere and everywhere other than where God wants you to be, then you're going to have a pretty ugly life. But I'm here to tell you, folks, that if you have a life where you think about these things, notice this. This list is not about anything you do. It's about the way that you think, the things that you fill your mind up with, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. So as we strive to live this life, let's don't just ask God to help us use the right words, or go to the right places, or have the right friends, or anything else out there. Let's give God our thought life and everything else about life will fall into place. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, right now I just pray that God, you would help us. Help us, Lord, to deal with this significant passage of Scripture today. That God, we are nothing more than the sum of our thoughts. And God, sometimes I'm just so thankful that we don't have the ability to read people's thoughts. But God, you know the words that we speak before they're ever formed in our mind. You know the ugly pictures that are deep in our soul that we would be so embarrassed if other people were aware. So God, I pray that we would do as your word tells us to do, and that we would capture our thoughts, that we would take every thought captive unto you and make it obedient, Lord, to you. And God, may we know that all of that is before us. All of that, Lord, is what we have access to. Not through complaining, bitterness, or envy, but Lord, simply through a grateful heart. So God, I pray that we would be grateful, and that, Lord, we would enjoy the benefits of gratitude. Not just psychologically, as the world would tell us that the benefits of gratitude is, but that, Lord, spiritually we would understand and appreciate those benefits because of our ability to truly, Lord, be thankful for what you have for us. Because, Lord, our worst days pale in comparison to what we have in store, Lord, in you. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to not only appreciate that and understand that, but, Lord, may we step out by faith and claim it. That, Lord, today on this Pentecost Sunday, that we would claim, Lord, your Spirit, your power in our lives, and that, Lord, you would use us to light that same fire by your Spirit in the world in which we live. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to do that. And God, as we sing these wonderful songs together, Lord, may we be encouraged to do so. In Jesus' holy name we pray.